This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Think come home. And it's the only way I really feel a part of something. It's time to look me in the eye and set me free. Wasn't talking to you, I was saying this only to me. I shouldn't judge, I'm not following the Father's guide. Said it very clear that lasting love is all open wide. That it takes for one to sit here and relax, it's not getting me anywhere. On another line, I see I have to wait again, and I just missed my chance. I think he hesitated there.
The program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
It's 2 o'clock on the East Coast and 11 o'clock on the West Coast, and somewhere in Florida, a former congressman is going, why in the hell didn't AOL tell me you can copy and save instant messages? But it's 1 a.m. here in the throbbing heart of the Montrose, so it's time for After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. This is the September 30th edition. My name is Chris Erickson. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be the other one.
He was out scaring Bambi last weekend.
I was in the woods. A city boy like me, can you imagine?
James of the Jungle.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, God, thank goodness he didn't bring the loincloth in.
Well,
don't tempt him, don't tempt him.
Yeah, this was really a lot of fun. It was a PWA campout for people with AIDS, and it was really open to gay men, or probably bisexual men also, I'm not sure. But predominantly gay men that I knew of. About 130 of us out there in right outside of Cameron, Texas, which is exactly 140 miles from my front door.
It's way past BFE. It's out in BFH.
You go out 290 till you can't stand it any longer, and then you go on to 36. And
at what point is it you can't stand it anymore? Because remember, I used to live out 290.
Okay.
I used to refer
for an inner looper, you go out 290 until you can't stand it any longer.
That's as soon as you turn on to 290. 290 starts as the 610 loop, and you're already lost.
It's a 2.5 hour drive, and it's really beautiful scenery all the way. Really enjoyed it. Did not get lost once. Which I normally do.
Well, they kept it simple. Take the big road to the next big road to the next big road.
No, it's the big road to the smaller road to the smaller road to the dirt road.
My goodness, he took his car four-wheeling.
Sounds good.
Well, this is an incredible campground. It's owned by the TCC, Texas Council of Clubs. Of which Houston is a member. The Houston Council of Clubs is, of course, a member of Texas Council of Clubs. Yes. Yes.
I may have missed the meeting.
You probably did. They own about 200 acres of land out there. About 8 to 10 of the acres have been developed. And by developed, I mean there's some permanent buildings and some trailers that are out there on a permanent basis, and most everybody else brings tents.
So now you know where the FEMA trailers went.
There is one trailer, a large trailer that has been converted into what they call a bunkhouse, which means it sleeps 14. I did not get to go into that one. I was in a two-man trailer. That is kind of a guest trailer that...
You never did tell us how many people that was in the two-man trailer.
Two.
Oh, okay.
There is a double bed on each side and closet space in the middle with a refrigerator and air conditioning. There is a permanent building with restrooms. There's a cinder block building with hot and cold showers. There is a kitchen. There is a walk-in cooler. There's a pole barn with a stage set up. I mean, this is...
It's a nice little setup.
It's rustic in a citified sort of way, which is perfect for me. Yeah. Yeah.
So, in other words, none of the woodland creatures saw you squatting down in the woods?
No. No, didn't
well,
have to
not
do
for that.
That
purpose, for other reasons, maybe.
There's nature trails and...
I bet. I've seen those Czech videos.
Hey. It's a little area called Buzzard's Peak. It's the highest... careful. This is gentle rolling hills, you know.
You followed the treasure trail to the nature trail till you got to Buzzard's Peak.
Yes.
Okay, that explains why you're beaming.
No. Actually, we had a ceremony up there for one of the members who didn't make it. And we did a memorial for Gerald Eisenhower, and he was the guy who was the big Houston promoter of the camp. He did fundraisers, and, I mean, camp was his life.
And kept trying to drag your happy ass down there many years.
That's right, and finally I made it. And so we had a little memorial up there at Buzzard's Peak.
That's nice.
Yeah, there's quite a few folks that climbed the hill, so to speak.
Took the nature trail to Buzzard's Peak after climbing over the hill.
Yeah, but they treated us like kings. I mean, there's food, wonderful food, and this cooler's, I mean, it's a walk-in cooler, and the front of it looks like, you know, four doors that you see at your 7-Eleven,
yeah.
You know, those kind of doors, and drinks and food 24 hours a day for us.
Yeah, I heard how much y'all were eating up there.
It was incredible.
Falcon had called.
That's right, because the Colt 45s came and served us lunch on Saturday. They served Sloppy Joel's.
And apparently you guys left the buns and were eating all the meat down.
No, it was good meat. Yes.
He was out peddling his buns later.
Yes. Saturday night we had a sit-down dinner. Yes.
Rather than the kneel down lunch.
Served in courses. It was quite nice. Quite nice. And then there was, you know, games and festivities and card games and dominoes and, you know, whatever you wanted to do. I got to talk to a lot of folks that from all over the state and got to hear some really nice stories of folks who've been coming there for years. And one guy's been to every one. And then there was the one isolated, not isolated, but the hardest luck story that I heard there was this guy's first time, like mine. But he not only was HIV positive, but he had recently had a stroke. This is a guy in his 20s.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was with a walker that was on wheels. Yeah. And he lives in Amarillo. And he's Hispanic. So can you imagine what kind of support system he doesn't have at home?
Yeah.
This guy really had a good time. For somebody who's HIV positive, going to the camp out is very much like walking into a gay bar for the first time. You have that sense of belonging, the sense of I don't feel so weird here.
People are going to think I'm trying to turn around to me, but you know that's how convergence is
for
a lot of people.
Exactly,
is you know you're walking into where people understand where you're coming from because they walk in your shoes.
Yes, that's right,
sort of thing.
Yeah, you don't feel like a freak.
Yeah, I mean, the body dysmorphia problem, you always talk about the olive on the toothpick sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of guys are like me. Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you can find that acceptance that you may not find in general society.
Yeah, and we've all been through it all. We've had all of the very similar experiences and very similar side effects and for medications and stuff. And so when we talk, we know people understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, it almost sounds like we need to teach how to use one of those fancy digital recorders next time you go up there.
Oh, please. I know I'm a 20th century man, you know, and I
Well, I'm not going to give you a reel-to-reel system to carry all the way up there. My God.
Well, that's good because we couldn't do anything with it here at the station. They got rid of all of
that. I actually know what a reel-to-reel is.
Mm.
I remember when my father threw away his old reel-to-reel, and one of his reels had a, I guess it was Hawaiian music on it. It probably mm-hmm. came with the thing. And when he threw it out, the garbage man saw this reel-to-reel and saw this reel case that had a Hawaiian girl on it, and he probably thought it was porno because he picked it up and put it in the front of the car. He went home trying to see if he can get the movie to come on.
But it was just an incredible, incredible weekend. And for those of you who might not be so open about your HIV status, there's the first thing that you're told when you go up there is that whoever comes up here, you don't talk about it. You don't talk about who came.
Yeah.
Because some folks, because of insurance reasons or because of work reasons, they don't want their HIV status known. So, you know.
Yeah, you have to protect.
It's like Vegas. What happens here stays here.
That's why he's been so mum about it. Just glowing. I have a bit of a tan.
I had a really good time. A really good time. It so far exceeded my expectations. I mean, I knew it was going to be fun, but I didn't think it was going to be great.
Now you're kicking yourself for not doing it sooner.
You bet. You bet. And there's so many people that I'm going to be dragging up there in the spring when they have the next one.
Next spring, Jimmy Carper rents a minivan. Watch for the newest adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, as Jimmy takes over his adventures of Queen of the Montrose.
Queen of the Woods is more like it.
That's a scary thought, watching Jimmy.
God, I want to thank John, who put it all together here in Houston. He's
one of these days we'll learn how to say his last name.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Sheshwi, I think.
I can't even attempt to.
It's a real funny thing about it is, you know, you being Czech and me being Polish.
And we still don't know
how the hell to pronounce his last
name.
Can
you believe it?
I look at his last name and go, Vanna, I'd like to buy a vowel.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, that'll break you on his name. Anyway.
There's no vowels in there. There's a lot of W's and a Z.
Yeah, that's true.
His name is more Slavic than the two of ours combined.
I know it. I know it. Okay. Okay, so music. What did we hear? We had new music tonight.
Oh.
Stop.
My tooth hurts. I can't help it. I'm making funny sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Started off with Alan Hanks.
It's a brand new CD. I just opened it this evening, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his shirt going, okay.
I thought it was country and western music when I looked at the cover.
Yeah, when you look at the shirt, I mean, it's like a dichotomy, you know. This side is just plain white. The other side is Grandma's couch.
Yes.
That he skinned. You Gotta Give.
Mm-hmm.
Written and sequenced by him, and that's off of, check out more of his information at Alan, A-L-L-E-N, Hanks.com. He's part of the group that brings you Jason and DeMarco.
Yes.
Here in Houston.
Yes.
And the other one was returning, Patrick Booth.
Mm-hmm.
And we played Boys Like Me.
Mm-hmm. I really like that. That music is very different.
I agree. Very different.
Okay. Okay. It's not top 40. Okay. Right.
It ain't.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be nice.
No.
Is he listening? I'm sorry.
You played something you didn't like last week, right?
No, I didn't play it last week. Trust me. While you were gone, this was 2 weeks ago when you were here.
Okay.
You said, play it. I go, no.
I really like it.
Well, he's cute. If he comes here, I'll promise I'll talk nicely. Please.
I'll bet you will.
Well, folks,
this is it. We've been talking about Tortilla Heave.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Tortilla Heaven for weeks now, and it's finally here, and it's happening this Tuesday night at 1415 California. It starting at 7:30. Actually, 7 o'clock, the doors opens. And it's a cash bar and serving build-your-own fajitas. Pre-show entertainment. We have Miss Gallo, who's going to be there, Lauren Brock. And Sarah Scholander and Craig Farrell and several others are going to be entertaining you while you're eating dinner. And promptly at 8:45 p.m., Jade Esteban Estrada will come on the stage with his one-man play, Tortilla Heaven, a story of life, love, and making tortillas the American way.
I can relate with that.
Okay. Hey.
Oh, it's going to be fun. It's only $15. And where can you go for dinner and a show for $15? Huh? I ask you.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Where can you go for a good dinner and a good show for $15?
And you can't get in trouble.
That's right. The FBI is already looking at me enough there.
Yes, exactly. So for some more information and to buy your tickets beforehand, go to dubcubed.gcam.org. G-C-A-M. gcam.org. Or call 713-692-8735 and call them right now.
Judy?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah. 713.
She's up. She's probably listening. 713-692-8735.
And we'll know if they call if we get a phone call here and he goes, James!
Oh, I'm really looking forward to this because he is such a nice guy, and
And we've been beating the story as flat as a tortilla for how long?
Oh, because I'm excited about it, and I'm also excited about this week because it is for ICOH, the Imperial Court of Houston, the Space City Empire. It is kind of the end of an era and the beginning of a new one. Next Saturday is enthronement, or as some people say, entombment, because that is farewell to the Emperor and Empress, and hello to the new Emperor and Empress.
Which are?
The stepping down Empress, Gemini Empress, Chanel Cartier, and stepping down Emperor, Mark Cohen. And the stepping up Emperor is Orlin Culliver, and the stepping up Empress is Ginger Vitus.
Ah. Just for those who aren't paying attention at all.
Yes, yes. Yes. And so it's a whole week of, most of the week, of excitement. Of course, now, this Sunday will be,
Sunday.
Like today, tomorrow, after you go to bed and you wake up again, it is the State Awards reception at 1415, starting at 5 p.m. And that's going to be finger foods, and that's where the crowd gets together, and the Emperor and Empress give out awards for funny awards and serious awards for all that's happened during the year. Wednesday is the Emperor and Empress roast and toast happening at 8:30 p.m. at George over on Fairview. And the announcement of the Space City Idol winner. That's been a contest ongoing for the last several weeks. And the winner, actually, there's a winner and a runner-up, and the winner gets $500, and both of them will get to do a number at enthronement on Saturday night. On Thursday, it's Members of the Universe show and Salem Party, 8:30 p.m. at Mary's.
Naturally.
That's the in-town show. We will have our out-of-town guests coming in on Thursday and Friday. And Friday night is the Ambassadors of the Universe show. That is the out-of-town show put on by the out-of-town guests. And also the Bus Bar Run, which as you can imagine.
Priscilling your way through the Montrose.
You got it. And then,
I have to play that album if I keep dropping Priscilla again here.
Culminating at with Enthronement on Saturday night at the Crown Plaza downtown. And it's quite fun because a lot of the awards and the hoop-de-doo gets done at other times.
Yeah.
Because we want this to be as entertaining for the guests as it is for the members. So it's mainly an evening of entertainment. There's for $85. It's a sit-down dinner and 5 hours of open bar during the festivities.
Not a bad little feat.
Not bad. Not bad at all. For those of you
who can tip the people at the bar.
Who like to imbibe, that certainly is an incentive.
I'm only doing a plug for my HCC members that are doing that.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
We didn't sign up, I don't think.
Well. Anyway, so I probably will not make it in next week. You know, it's just going to be
off your ass.
Well, yeah, on Diet Coke, right? I do not drink, so I will. I'm always the designated driver at these affairs.
Okay.
But it kind of runs a little late, so. Rather than come in late, I probably will not come in at all. See, last year, we were doing this show on Friday night, so...
Don't give Ernesto any ideas.
So I didn't have to take off. Yes, I know. And all of a sudden, we're getting phone calls. I don't understand it. Hmm. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. It's a night of tuxedos and gowns and really big jewelry and even bigger hair. Because a lot of the female line members are not really female. So, hey. This is the culmination of a whole year of fundraising activities, and
please put your pledge of support into the station so I don't sit in a chair and fall all the way down to the basement.
I know. What happened? All of a sudden, you just...
I'm willing to go down that fast, but, you know, I'd rather have something...
Well, you do. Stephen's right behind you.
This is the original PT.
Oh, and he is too.
Yeah,
he's an expert at it.
Yes, he's a master of PT.
Prick teaser.
let me do these things here.
Only you're teasing with your prick. See, that's how it works.
I understand.
Okay, gotcha.
That's good, because the last guy we called PT, we had to really explain it to him in small words.
Small being the key word?
Small being the key word, yes. Okay, a couple of more things, I think.
Yeah, because our next segment's ready.
Oh, well, then let's see. We'll do our couple of other things next.
Let me throw this one out real quick to everybody.
Sure.
That one. Hatch, I'm sorry, PFLAG. The meeting is on Sunday.
Sunday.
As in, like, 11 and a half hours from now.
Something like that.
12 and a half hours. From 2 to 4:30 at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 5501 South Main at Binns. October 8th is Solidarity Sunday. Those are our next show, Jimmy.
All three?
Oh, the guy on the third line is somebody's offering sperm for sale.
Oh,
only if we get to take it from the tap. October 8th is Solidarity Sunday, and October 11th is National Coming Out Day. In recognition of these days of nationwide support for GLBT individuals and communities, Mike McGarrah will present a program on the coming out process. What are you trying to do, Jimmy? He's gone for a week and comes back and thinks he's in charge. in the coming out process, Mike has presented this program in the process in the past and will present this topic again as review for any new members or attendees. For more information, go to pflaghouston.org or give them a call at 713-46-PFLAG. That's 713-467-3524. After the meeting, they're going over to Cafe Express. So once again, PFLAG Houston October meeting is on Sunday, October 1st from 2 to 4:30 at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 5501 South Main at Binns. Yeah, I can press the delete button on that. It's time now. This is the fifth week of the month, so technically it's the fourth week because we bumped earlier. So, Max, are you there?
I am there, and I just have one question.
Yes, Max?
Sperm on tap?
Yeah. Some guy called in and was rambling something off. He thinks that we're a show that's, you know, concerned about HIV/AIDS, and we are, and he says that he's pretty sure he doesn't have it, was offering sperm for sale. And, you know, if we're gonna be purchasing sperm, it's not going to be in a little cup.
Okay.
Jimmy has a refreshing face on. Turn your mic back on. Oops, there. Turn that mic back on. Oh, no. He's going out to suck a fag.
Of course. I understand. I wish I was there having one with you, Jimmy.
All right. Well, your guest is on the line here, too. Let me
okay.
See
well,
if
first,
I can
let
get...
me say good morning. Okay. Good morning. Good morning to everyone.
Good
Matt
morning.
Here. How's the weather there? It's just so cool and lovely here. Oh,
it got hot
goodness.
The past couple of days. We've been back up in the low 90s.
You know, that's just wrong for this here. It really is.
Yeah, but, you know, we dodged the hurricane so far, so we'll take a little heat now.
Okay. I can go along with that. Anyway, in keeping with sort of like the rest of the conversation this evening, the parts that I caught, I want to talk about sex. Sex and kink.
Thank God we got someone who's doing a segment on that.
You know, I tend and have kind of steered away from talking about the two of them together, and I guess that kind of came from my pro-dom thing because, you know, you kind of keep the sex part out of it. But the bottom line is this is sexual.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? You are dealing with sexual energy. So I want to talk about that in relationship to its coming together or coming out of the sex or swinging times. And, of course, my forever pet peeve, why this country is so caught up and has so many hang-ups about sex.
Oh, I know where you can go with that one.
Yes. What's the guy's name who just got popped?
Oh, you know, Mark Foley. Representative Mark Foley?
Yeah, the guy who's so anti porn and how terrible it is, and he's trying to pick up pages.
Well, later on, we're going to be doing a little radio play of one of his instant message conversations he had with his page.
Oh, really?
We have the transcript here.
This just worms my dog. You know what I mean? You think back about that lovely little cross-dresser, J. Edgar. Why? I just don't freaking get it.
The part that's the funniest part about it is, you know, this was the guy who was in charge of the committee that wrote up the Adam Walsh bill for missing and exploited children.
Anybody check his basement?
No, the crawl space.
We don't
use basements. We use crawl spaces.
Okay. Well, see, they're basements here.
Yeah.
And I love that. But, you know, if somebody had not screwed somewhere and somebody, how could they wouldn't even be here to complain about this, you know? Well, let's start from the positive aspect first. My guest is Eric.
Let me make sure I get him. Okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, I jumped in there. I was going to make sure I can get him on the line here.
Okay.
Eric, you're there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
Okay.
With Eric, our phone systems around here, we're never sure what buttons are going to work right this week or not. So.
But you know what? We're going to make sure that next month something is in place so that we can have people calling in.
Yes.
And I want to say the reason why that's not set up yet is I have had a couple of accounts with conference call companies, and they are not comfortable with this type of program. So they kind of have cut my butt off, you know. But I'm going to keep looking. Somebody out there is still a little open-minded. Anyway, I've got Eric out of Atlanta, Georgia, and he is in the industry, shall we say, and I'll let him elaborate a little bit more on what he does. But I have gone to one of his parties and everything, and he gives these amazing parties, and they are, shall we say, sexually oriented, and has definitely had experience with the importance of kink and sex, or kink and swinging, and I happen to think many more people need to add a little kink to their sex life, and maybe these people won't be so damn uptight. But then again, they're doing it already. They're just hiding it. Anyway, Eric.
Yes.
Hi there. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just fine.
Excellent. Excellent. So why don't you tell the listeners just a little bit more about yourself, and then we'll get to talking about this terrible thing called sex and kink.
All right. Well,
from my bathtub.
I'm based in Atlanta, and I ran a fetish service for about eight, nine years here in Atlanta, and went over very well in the Deep South, and never had problems with getting business. Like you say, everybody's doing it, but they're keeping it undercover. And I also sponsor nice adult amateur swing parties in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a good party. And basically, I haven't had a problem here yet. So, you know, I'm trying to duck and dodge all of this conservatism that's going on now. But you never know. You always have to keep your eyes and head up, because they may just get you in the behind before you know it.
Do you think the climate has changed a lot, or have what changes have you seen in your business during the current administration?
Well, it really started right at the Bush, when Bush got into office, and it's just different. They enact in different laws. They're putting laws on the books. They try to trip you up. Whether you're into a fetish service like I am, or if you have a website on the internet and it has adult content, you really need a good First Amendment lawyer to make sure you're covering your butt. And they change laws, and if you're not up on what's going on, you can get caught up in the fray and not even see it coming. But everything has changed.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that has come about more because kink or BDSM or this type of lifestyle is becoming much more open?
I think it's that. I think it's the accessibility of porn. You can get it anywhere now. You know, it's like going to Vegas. You can play a slot machine anywhere you turn. Today, with the internet, kink, porn sites are just available. And I think because it's becoming so available, and even in porn, they're talking about it becoming more mainstream. That's upsetting a lot of people. You know, and it really what it is, I think, out of frustration. Because they can't see no way to stop it, you know. Out of frustration, they're doing a lot of things.
Well, when you say becoming more mainstream, just how much more mainstream can it be? Really, watching some serious bikini-clad babe selling Firestone tires.
Well, you know, sex sales and
exactly.
Madison Avenue. understands that. So, I mean, it's been part of the mainstream for a very long time.
Exactly.
But straight up pornography now.
Okay, define your idea of pornography.
Pornography, well, you know, I use pornography and the word porn. To me, porn is more a sensual thing, it's a sexual thing. Pornography, when I say pornography, a lot of times, to me, that means that it may be someone's being taken advantage of or someone's being hurt by actions of others. That's pornography to me. There's a difference between...
Okay, but then, and by that token, a BDS film
mm-hmm.
can appear to be that.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really, if you don't understand what's going on, you initially you would think, you know, someone is being hurt and not being really a part of what's going on, being forced to be a part of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's all about... your perspective. It's like, you know, a judge could tell you, I can't define pornography for you, but I know it when I see it. See, to me, that's no good. You need to come a little clearer than that. And legally, it's just hard for them to, it's hard to define. And so what they do, they throw it, instead of it being in federal courts a lot of times, they would take it to state courts and let the communities decide what is pornography and what isn't. And that's how people get caught up a lot of times. But then, too, that's how people beat that obscenity charges, because it's very difficult to define.
Well, the law 2257 is basically left up to the states to define what is obscene and what is not.
Well, what 2257 is basically when they wrapped it around protecting children and... it's really for content, internet content. You know, you need to have, make sure that the models you use are legal ages, and the government can come in at any time and check your records. And
right.
If your record's not up to par, you can be arrested for child molestation. I mean, they got that wide open. You know, they setting up minefields. And instead of being charged with pornography, they want to charge you with child molestation.
And regardless whether or not the person is an adult, but they take you through that if your paperwork is not in order.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, the guy could actually look like your grandfather.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. If the paperwork isn't correct, then, you know, you're going to get charged.
Hmm. In a way, I feel that the war on pornography is kind of like we have a war on everything. My goodness, the war on drugs, the war on terrorism, the war against indecency, the war on terrorism. There seems to be a need to really regulate what people do altogether, but especially in the bed. But why do you think it's, I wanted to start to say it's more so in this country, but in traveling this year several times to Europe, this idea is really spreading.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing. Because even in Europe, where there was much more tolerance, it is not. They are turning more toward the moral majority of
mm-hmm.
America, and I find that very interesting.
Well, I think in this country, the real reason they haven't really cracked down on the adult industry altogether during the Bush administration was because of 9/11. They got busy because the right person was in place as far as Attorney General with the guy that just left.
Ashcroft.
You know, he was really down on it, and if it wasn't for the point, or wasn't for the fact that they really got busy, he would have turned things upside down. Now, I thought since Gonzalez got into office, I didn't think it would be much of a problem. But because the Republicans are so in trouble right now with their base. They're trying to find issues to get their base fired up where they'll come out and vote in the midterm election and in 2008. So a lot of this is just politics. You know, Bush.
Oh, everything is
politics. You know, and I would say the majority of it is politics. You know, it's been fueled by politics and not morality per se. You know, but you have a small, very organized, more right, conservative right wing. And they don't speak for the majority of the people, but they just organized. And it's people like us who are open-minded, have that live and let live sort of mentality. We're not organized. We're not political. And it's going to hurt the majority in the long run if we don't get more political and understand how things are going as and how it's going to affect the lifestyle you decide to lead as an adult.
I think one of the reasons why that doesn't happen and we're not as organized because there are many people in this lifestyle, either the kink, fetish, swingers, more and more gay, lesbian, homosexuals are coming out, but we are still pretty much in the closet.
Well, I mean, you don't have to let people know your orientation to be political. You know, I'm just saying get up and vote, find out about candidates, see where they're coming from, see if their philosophy is going to conflict with yours, and if it is, vote against them. Find another candidate that you can vote for. You don't have to tell people why you're voting. Just get out and vote. You know, and but I think people of like minds need to organize and understand the political process in this country. Within this past six years, things have been turned upside down, you know, in all kind of ways. Just not in the adult industry or we at war, a war that we necessarily didn't have to go into. You know, as Americans, we can't travel outside our country without looking over our shoulders. You know, it's frightening.
Many liberties are being lost.
I mean, people just sit. I don't understand why people aren't in the streets. I'm very confused about that. But they won't realize it until everything is over. And then it's going to be too late.
Well, that's kind of usually the case. Now, you're saying that we need to get involved politically and pay attention to the candidates and what they stand for. But then we can go right back to the beginning of this conversation. What candidate is going to up and say, I'm for alternative lifestyle living, et cetera? Be a pervert, what's the guy's name, Chris?
Mark Foley.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to say it like that, but you need to look at who's trying to listen in on your conversations, who's trying to put limits on internet content. You know, it's a lot of different things that will not come out. You may not understand that, you know, if they enact this law, it's going to affect you one way or the other. It's not going to be a thing about they trying to stop the BDS and their lifestyle. They can just come up with different laws. They can enact different laws that's going to affect the lifestyle. And it may not even be in the bill, but the effect is going to be there. So understand what I'm saying. We don't have to organize and say, you know, the BDSM lifestylers need to all march on Washington. No, it's not like that. You just need to understand what actions are being taken. And, you know, they're working for the people. You're part of the people. You need to make sure that your philosophy isn't destroyed. And you can do that by understanding what the candidate stands for.
Yeah. I was talking to a guest I had on another time who has been very active and open in the lifestyle. And he was amazed that with so many people that he knows all over the country, having traveled all over to do workshops, etc., that a lot of kinksters, because this is not necessarily a cheap sport,
mm-hmm.
are really Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, kind of support the parties that do this crazy stuff.
Well, you know, I think a lot of them may be, what do you call, conservative when it comes to finances and things. See, it's been a split amongst the Republican Party. You have the fiscal conservatives, and then you have the conservatives that are dealing with the moral issues, the culture wars. And I guess they would have to decide. I think a lot of fiscal conservatives are totally upset with what's going on in Washington today, and they just don't vote now. It'd be too much for them to vote for somebody in the Democratic Party or Green Party or some independent. They just refuse to vote right now.
But, I mean, look, okay, your client base, typically they are what?
White, middle class, upper middle class.
Uh-huh.
And people like that tend to be conservatives, tend to be Republicans. But, again, it goes back to finance.
My clientele, same way, though.
Mm-hmm.
My clientele was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are the powerful guy, the, you know,
people with money.
Interesting thing. I think we all have it, and I'm just not understanding why it is the new drug. Do you know what I mean? The new thing to protect people against. Is it because of the internet and we're finding out more about it? Because I'm certainly not trying to minimize child abuse.
I think most people don't.
The one thing that should be punishable by death.
Yep, yep.
But this shite.
But see what they do. They try to enact laws and interweave child protection, and that see that. Even if I was in a jury, and you know, it's some content on the internet, adult content that I don't agree with at all. But
why the hell don't parents put the safeguards on the computers that are available for them to put on?
A lot of parents just not computer
savvy.
Go to
these sites, but they don't want to do that because in the evening after the kid goes to bed, they want to get on the computer and look at the porn.
I would totally agree with you. You know, but like I said, it's a thing of they can get more people upset and angry if they come at it like we're protecting children. And a lot of people would just flip, like, you know, they don't even think about anything else. Oh, this is about protecting children, so support it. You know, they'd wrap things around emotional issues to keep people off balance and to just make people think emotionally instead of using logic. And, you know, right now they're winning.
You notice the part I hate about that argument with that is that the same people who decry that we need to put restrictions on the internet because of the children,
mm-hmm.
if you try and teach sex education in school, if you try and teach them anything, it's always they come over saying, you can't teach my child that. That's my responsibility to teach that.
Mm-hmm.
If you as a parent cannot instill into your child your moral values and moral code that you want them to adhere to, then you want to turn it over to the state, then turn it all over to the state.
But see that's not the point. It really isn't about the children. It's just how they wrap it.
It's a red herring.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's how it's wrapped. It's how they can deal with more people emotionally.
They can't regulate it and tax it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, I've always heard that story of, you know, it, and that of when I started hearing more and more about them talking about, we need to protect the internet for this. And it's like, I'm looking at him, aren't you the same people who complained when Hillary Clinton wrote that book, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
And won't allow condoms available for the young to protect themselves should they decide to do.
I'm surprised some of these people allow them to put tampons in the women's bathrooms in high schools.
Do they still do that?
I haven't snuck in a girl's bathroom in years.
Okay.
But yeah,
I haven't seen one.
But I mean, that's sort. I mean, it's just so strange how we're. I guess it's part where I, you know, like kind of the, if you listen to Bill Mayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, where he talks about, like, you know, and George Carlin has to later, you know, to hell with, you know, who's going to save the children. They're going to be around a lot longer than we are.
Yeah, you would think they'd be concerned about what the hell they're going to breathe 20 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah, the smut. Yeah, the smut you want to take care of is what's in the air, not what's on the internet.
You have to realize we are in a cultural war. And it's been conducted the last 20, 25 years, you know, and the people that decided to start this war planned for a 20, 25 year war, and we're in the midst of it right now. So, you know, that's why I say people need to be aware of what's going on around them, and a lot of people just sleep at the wheel, you know, and they, like I say, they will not understand what's going on until, you know, it kicks them in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, it's too late, you know. But these last these 8 years we've been with this administration here, man, you know. I hope we can regroup.
This administration could take the faith out of anybody. You know what I mean? How many people, other than the people that probably really and truly voted for him, feel that he even won in the first place?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So does it make you feel like you can affect change? The best thing you can do is just go about your own life and create your own little kingdom or femdom or whatever, and just do your thing.
But see,
it is kind of an indifference.
But see, to me, that's putting your head in the sand. You know, you if somebody knock you down, you got to want to get back up. And right now, these folks are not knocking people down. See, I'm all for, you know, insulate yourself in your own little bubble. But eventually, that bubble is going to float over into somebody's neighborhood. And you know, they're going to bust that bubble.
Or you're going to get too many people in that bubble, and you need more space.
More space, yeah. We have to become aware. And, I mean, they're taking away civil liberties left and right. You know, I'm a C-SPAN junkie. You know,
right. We're going to take 1 second right now. Chris, you're going to identify this fantastic station.
I was just getting ready to
allow us to talk about these kind of things.
I was just getting ready to break in so let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Here on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 down on Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
All right. This is Mr. Max Rules. I have a little project that I've been working on, so if you're out there listening, I'd like for you to go and look at it and post your comments. And it's www.silencewillnotprotectyou.com. Because I'm feeling personally persecuted. You know what I mean? Not me, myself, just the dominatrix, this whole kind of industry that I entered into kind of at the last of an era. And I wanted to talk about that with you, Eric, and I think you may have seen it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Having your business, did you come to see more of the kink coming into it? You know, years before, you know, people may have started out swinging and then they went over to the kink. Do you know what I mean? They've now come together a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the new wave of mistress, for the most part, does offer, you know, a lot more things than they did 15 years ago.
Oh yeah.
You know, and the calling are requesting these things. Am I still on? Because I just
yes.
pushed the phone. Okay.
You woke me up there with the beep, beep, beep.
Oh, thank you very much. So, have you seen that, Eric?
I would say somewhat. I think initially when I got into this arena back in right around 94, 95, I started doing a little research. It was something totally different than than it is today. And I just think that was just an evolution that took place. And I would say, yes, that both worlds are sort of merging and colliding with one another. But I just think, again, I think the Internet had a lot to do with that, too.
How so?
People were just able to do things out of the privacy of their own home. You know, before the Internet, you had to go to different clubs. You know, that meant that you had to go and park your car, and hopefully wouldn't nobody recognize your car or wouldn't recognize you walking into one of these clubs. If you just say you were curious. See, the Internet helps a lot of curiosity seekers. You know, they may look at something and find it appealing and go ahead and take it on, and they may not find it appealing. But before the Internet, you had to actually go out. And, you know, if you were just curious and really weren't sure about it, you didn't want to be seen. But now that the Internet has come about, you can do it from the comfort and the privacy of your own home. So you have a lot of curiosity seekers, and some of them get pulled in. You know, but again, I say the Internet has done a lot, negative and positive, I think, on that end.
But I've also seen, and being an agent yourself, for some, shall we call them porn stars,
mm-hmm.
they have taken on the mistress persona. And I think it's because for a long time it was viewed as safer.
Yes, I totally agree with you. You got these guys out going to conventions, going in different cities, and, you know, doing the professional dom thing. It's a safe thing. You don't have to worry about carrying things home to wifey. You know, you may not even feel it's cheating. So I think, especially in the 90s, it was just a safer thing to do. And it was something that was really being put out there. I'll tell you somebody else that had, had somewhat of an effect on the lifestyle, Madonna. When she came out with her sex book, she had a lot of S&M things in it, and I mean, you know, it just got wide publication, wide acceptance, and I think that even brought even more curiosity seekers out.
Oh, it did a lot for leather, just as a fashion statement,
mm-hmm,
not
mm-hmm.
just for kinky people, for
yeah.
sure. You know,
so you have your stimuli and. You know, it goes from that point.
But it's all getting lumped into a bad thing. But then, you know, sex kind of has been a bad thing forever in
mm-hmm.
this country. You know what I mean? It was kind of the reason for the witch hunts and all that good stuff.
Well, now, explain to me what you mean it's getting lumped into a bad thing.
Sex, period, is pretty much a bad thing, unless
mm-hmm.
you're doing it to procreate, unless you're doing it with your spouse.
Okay.
You know, it is kind of a negative thing.
Or just
and
doing
all,
it something besides the, missionary.
Right. All the accoutrement and fancy things or kinky things that you can add to it within your marriage are bad things, which, of course, keeps the outside sex industry the number one and longest running industry, I think, in the world, because, you know, kind of punani will sell when food won't.
Yeah, you're right about that. Not
you know,
a problem at all.
So it is that bad thing, and it also keeps a lot of unhappy, frustrated people together.
Yeah.
When I think if people would try to add a little something to their sex lives, life would be a lot easier.
But see, everybody's sort of caught up in, well, I don't want my, what if my spouse isn't approachable, or if I do bring this to her, it's something that totally turns her off. So that's when spouses will go out and experiment in the streets. And, you know, it just, it all goes back to this, the religious conservative right in this country. You know, most of them are, I think, very frustrated. I think if they had some kink or just plain good sex every now and then, they'd be much, much better.
It's flagellation.
You know, I just think they just are sexually repressed, and, you know, they want everybody else to be miserable with them. Because I really don't understand why would you do in the privacy of your home, why would that affect me? I just don't understand that mentality.
Well, you know, if everybody's miserable and you keep people from doing things that do make them feel good and are stress relievers, that's not Prozac or Lexapro or all of that stuff, then you can keep them caught up in the war on other things and kind of keep them in fear.
It's all a distraction. You know, it's smoking mirrors. You know, it's just a bunch of garbage.
Because we're going to do this thing.
Regardless.
And it's so much fun. So anyway, on a lighter note, what's your favorite kink, Eric?
I'm into CBT pretty good. I enjoy CBT. And a little exhibitionism.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Can we say the C word, Chris?
Yes, I was just checking my list. You can't explain to the listeners what CBT stands for.
Okay, CBT is cock and ball torture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, most people cringe at the word torture, but when you think about it...
It's very Republican.
They do. CBT can take in so many things. Just the whole, you know, idea of how the cock operates, the penis, just teasing the hell out of it and not allowing it release can be torturous.
Yes, exactly.
So it can be doing things to it, you know, squeezing it, slapping it, applying things to it, and, you know, clothespins, all kinds of amazing
things. Tying it up.
It can just be a matter of tease and denial.
Exactly. And that's more or less what I'm into.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Exhibitionism. I think that a lot of people do enjoy that, and that, I think, is the success of a lot of sex clubs and swinging clubs.
No doubt
and
about it.
Really, a good one in Houston. It is a private club, but I believe they do have a website where you can join and go. It's called The Cave. Club
okay.
Cave. Are you familiar with that one, Chris?
No.
Yeah, it's... Oh,
I'm too
God.
Vanilla for you, remember?
Oh, please. Just before I came on the air, you were backing up or falling on something. What was that?
Oh, the chair.
Who was that?
The office chairs we have in here are the hydraulics we're going to add.
Oh, okay. So, how did you get involved in the kink aspect of it? How did you figure out you liked that kind of thing?
Well, you know,
internet, or was it?
No. Initially, for me, it was kink magazines, and really the fetish attire really caught my eye initially.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up renting a fetish video, and after I saw it, I was sucked into the black hole,
so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been on ever since.
How old were you?
Early 30s.
Oh, that you're a late bloomer.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. This is something, and again, it was really, really got, you know, pushed on me because it was safe. You know, it was safe. You know, during that time in my 30s, my early 30s, you know, you didn't know what, you know, you didn't know, it was so much misinformation out there about catching AIDS.
Right, right.
You know, and I just found, and I was always out and about. I traveled a lot. You know, I never believed in carrying sand to the beach. So when I traveled alone.
Right.
I was always able to find somebody to party with.
Mm-hmm.
But that lifestyle became a little dangerous.
Right,
so,
right.
So the kink came up, and it was, I found a way to really relieve myself, to get off, at the same time be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So
I said you were a late bloomer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you know what? I think for that time period, not saying that you're like some really old fart or anything.
Thank you.
He's still on the back patio.
But I think for kind of our era or whatever, that was kind of it because... And because of that whole safety issue,
mm-hmm.
I think that's why a lot of young people are getting involved in kink and BDSM today.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is that safety issue. It's not about, you know, intercourse or anything. And I don't have to worry about catching anything.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I need to add that there are still safety issues to bear in mind when playing with people, with
mm-hmm.
toys and et cetera, you know what I mean? You need to make sure that they are cleaned in between partners and well cleaned, et cetera, et cetera. But that's another show. But I think that has a lot to do with the popularity of kink today, and I think that is why it has become a bit of a target and been lumped into this pornography thing.
Mm, yeah.
Because there is a much younger generation getting involved.
I totally agree with you on that issue.
You know, I know the groups, they have chapters all over the country called the Next Generation. I'm not quite sure what the youngest age is, but you can't be over 30.
Oh, see, that's something I'm not familiar with.
Yes, the Next Generation. I even had them on the show once, didn't I?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes, very, very interesting.
Most likely it's either 18 or 21. You're going
right.
to get with that, you know, depending on what's, because, I mean, 18 is going to be the age of consent
mm-hmm.
That's generally accepted for anything that's borderline sexual. And 21, you know, maybe just a little extra cushion to make sure of that.
Right, right. I know that the clubs in Houston, all of the kink clubs in terms of BDSM, you have to be at least 21 to go to any parties, which, you know, I thought was really cool. But there are definitely a lot of young people involved in this. Now, because I have this particular mic on,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to take you guys with me to the bathroom, and I am pacing back and forth because I really have to go.
Okay, well, why don't I do this? I'll let's go to a music break. Just a few people stay on hold, and we'll come back in a little bit then.
All right.
All right.
We'll be back after this music.
Okay.
Into sports, looks good in shorts, but you're just another game to him. I've seen his type, seen him all my life, always pulling for the side that wins.
Pansy Division with Who Treats You Right. Max, are you back?
I am right here.
Okay.
You know what? I notice that every time I drink lots of water, every time I do the show, I always have to go to the bathroom. I think I need to do a show on water sports.
Yeah, a yellow hanky show. The show before us has been, it's supposed to be women's issues.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to do once a month, she wants to do a fetish show.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying she was planning on doing one show on water sports and scat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I looked at her and go, no shite.
Yes, my little British slave has me using shite.
Well, that's good, because there's no E at the end of the word on our list, so we'll go with that.
Yeah. But water sports is very, very interesting. You know, when I remember the first time somebody asked me about it, so I did some research on it. So it is a very fascinating topic.
Well, I think we've got enough. Let's see, if we're still here in Houston, I think we could probably get a little kiddie pool out back. And I think we can hook up the microphone that we use for pledge drives, and we can go out to the backyard. And
well, I mean, I can just take y'all to the bathroom. The acoustics are great in the bathroom.
I'll have to find music for that.
Yes, we have to have the right music. Okay, so sex and kink, they have to go together. I mean, missionary position, would you say that would be a fetish? Or is it just the Lord's law?
A fetish. I guess you could possibly consider that a fetish.
Well, maybe for you, Max, when you do it every other different way, you know, sometimes, you know, when you go to Baskin-Robbins and you eat 31 of the flavors and then you decide to come in and have vanilla, that's a little unusual.
That's what I'm saying. It's all relative.
Yeah, exactly.
That would definitely be fetishy for me.
Okay.
I can see that personal ad. I'm looking for someone really kinky, just missionary. That's all I want.
Hey, in the sea of ads and things actually on the internet, that would be a strange request.
Yeah.
You know, I really do believe that. So, has the climate in Atlanta itself changed much?
You know,
the kink and the sex activities.
Let me tell you what city of Atlanta. I can only speak for the city of Atlanta.
Right.
Initially, when I first got into the business, there may have been only 4 or 5 professional dom advertising.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was that many. And city of Atlanta police, they were just confused. They didn't know if the domination thing was a front for prostitution. So they started sending undercover cops out, and eventually they realized that it wasn't a front for prostitution. It used to be a time in the city of Atlanta. Atlanta is a huge convention town.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the amenities for a convention city would be the sex scene.
Absolutely. That's what guys go to convention for.
Exactly. So, city of Atlanta, the police department, unless something vile was going on, like guys getting robbed or something like that, they didn't bother the professional escorts.
Mm-hmm.
And but that has all changed. Now they run into dings to set them up, and they're even coming back at the pro doms again.
Yeah, but you also have about 200 pro doms in Atlanta now.
Yeah.
Across the country.
And a lot of the escorts have decided that they want to try the domination scene.
Exactly. Or just call themselves.
Well, I was going to get to that. You know, instead of staying true, once the guy got there, to get him in and out quickly, they just go back to what they know the best. You know, it's like a fighter. You train in the gym to do certain things, and if you start getting your ass beat, you go back to that same old thing that you were used to doing. You can't bring out something new. So I think a lot of them get caught up in this is taking too long, or they don't want to go through the process, and you know.
Or
let
they
me do,
don't even have. They just plain old don't have the skill.
They don't have the knowledge. Don't have knowledge at all.
I was just, whenever you keep talking with Atlanta and all that, I remember years ago, back when I was doing research for stuff with the show here about escorting, you know, Atlanta had one of the most ingenious ways. There was this one company that got around all that. It was a pizza delivery service. And what you did is you ordered a pizza. It was probably one of these dollar pizzas you can get at the grocery store. And for $75, the pizza delivery guy brings you this frozen microwave pizza, but he stays with you for an hour and a half.
Oh, let's see. I didn't know anything about that.
So, you know, that was the way they worked around it. Is you ordered a pizza, and that's how you were proving that you were paying for company, is the fact that you bought a pizza and you had someone to share it with.
Someone to eat it with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's cute.
Gives a whole new meaning to ordering extra sausage. But the family size pizza.
Meatballs.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want a sausage and meatball pizza. I don't know if they had services for the anchovies.
I don't even want to think about that one. But as far as talking about skills, because of the internet, I think women have just looked at these ads for dominatrix, and you know, a lot of crap we put sometimes on the websites. You know, you will do as I say, and slave boy kneel, give me everything you own. They have taken a lot of the fantasy, and for some reality, and turned it into just that. They think it is just that. Give me all your money, and they think dominating is kneel down and let me spread my legs and pleasure me.
Well, you know, it's about for each individual, if they're willing to take the time out to understand and learn their art. You know, we're in a fast food world.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants everything instantaneously. And it takes time to learn.
You know, one-stop shopping.
Exactly.
And I have to say, if I was a guy and I was into kink, and I can go to some really, you know, hot woman, and I can get the kink on and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that would be such a hard choice.
No.
Unless someone is truly understanding what this is and into it for its essence.
But you go back to the curiosity seekers. They don't know. Okay, that's why you get a lot of guys that are confused. If they go to the wrong, well, I'm not going to call them the wrong person. Let's just say if they go to a person who isn't true to the art form. Okay, you can't fault them. They if they come to you and you're old guard and they have never been in touch with anybody that's old guard and they ask you for certain things, you know, you just have to tell them no and explain to them why this isn't what you do. But, I mean, the curiosity seeker is the guy that's out there not, you know, he just don't know. So he goes to whatever, and it's like, well, I get it here. I should really get it there.
Right.
But if they, you know, they may get into it and then decide that they want to get into it deeper. You know, it's good to have the young, fresh thing out there. And if somebody really wants to get more into the lifestyle, mm-hmm. then they're going to do a little research. They write down the internet, so they're going to do research, and that's going to bring somebody who's looking to get more serious into it. That may bring him to your doorstep.
Right.
After he reads your biology.
I mean,
your bio.
Right, but as with all things, you know, it's a two-sided coin. It's the double-edged sword, you know what I mean? I can tantalize the cock with it. I can also take it and castrate you with it. You also have, because that that new dom is really a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
And she's asked for these other things that it really does take some knowledge to do. You can't just pick up a flog and go smacking somebody. You can't just start caning anybody or single-tailing. Not only may she put his eye out, she might put her own damn eye out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like asking a mechanic to give you a gynecological examination just because he's used to going into things. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, as you say, that's the internet and all that good stuff. And however it comes or cans or, you know, pans out, we are going to live, learn, die, whatever, over sex.
I think so.
And I think it's a wonderful thing.
Well, I just want to get mine before I go.
I'll listen to you.
That's all.
I'll have to come down to Atlanta and wear my high leather boots. So anyway, how are we doing with time, Chris? Because I'm just kind of walking around.
You got a little bit more time if you want.
Okay.
I said all we have left is the roundtable discussion and, like I said, our little radio play of Representative Mark Foley's instant messaging.
What time does that come on? I think I might have to stay up to listen to that because I just...
We're going to be doing it after you have there.
Huh?
We're going to be doing it after we hang up with you tonight. We'll be having that.
Oh, cool.
We're going to call it Masturbatory Theater.
Masturbatory Theater.
Yeah.
I like that.
Like Masterpiece Theater, but...
Masturbatory.
And, you know, reading ahead in the script there, it's quite a masterpiece he has.
I thought it was only like two or three emails that were exchanged.
Well, there was the emails, but he also instant messaged the kid. And the kid saved the instant message. And I found it on ABC.com. ABCnews.com.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They have... It's a little hidden, but it's on there. It's an Acrobat file you download. And so I sent it to Jimmy. And it's a very interesting little read.
That's something else.
Are you going to be accepting calls?
Well, hopefully once we get on here, if somebody wants to come in here. But it's... Like I said, it's an interesting little read I pulled off of here.
So, do you have any comments, anything that you'd like to say to the audience with regard to kink? I always ask my guests that. Any words of caution or advice or
Well basically, I want people to understand.
Jump on your spouse. What?
I want people to understand that their lifestyle is under attack, and you know, you got to get up, you got to stand up and fight back. And the only way you can do that is be aware of what's going on and be aware of what laws are being enacted. And just don't lay down and just take it. You know, you stand up and fight back. If not, the lifestyle that you enjoy, you may not be able to do it as openly as you want, or you may end up going to jail because you're just trying to pleasure yourself. And I think that's totally wrong.
Absolutely. Again, I want to ask that you go to my website and read some of the poems and post your comments. I'd really appreciate it. That's www.silencewillnotprotectyou.com. And as Eric said, we really can't put our heads in the sand and think it's okay, because you have to remember, when you do that, you leave your ass exposed. Can I say that word?
Yes.
I have to check myself.
It's a little late.
Yeah. Hey, she's doing better than usual.
So
a year or two, we finally got Mr. Smacks trained.
It takes a while. I kind of buck against that. I'm the one who usually, you know, does the training, but I'm trying to stay here, so I have to adjust myself. And most people that know me know I cuss like a sailor. You know, sometimes there's just no other way to get my point across.
You will.
And I have found that sometimes you can be nice, and sometimes other things are called for. And I, you know, try to rise to the occasion. All right, this is Mistress Max Rules, about to say ta-ta again for now, and not quite sure what I'm going to come up with next month, because I'm waiting to hear back from a couple of people with regard to their schedules, but it will definitely be something interesting, and I will get it together so I can hear from you guys. And if you go to my website in about a week, maxrules.com, M-A-X-R-U-L-Z, I'm also going to try to set up something. And if somebody has some ideas of how to help me do that, I'd like to hear that. So that you can also, if you're out of the country, because I know I have some listeners out of the country, that you can contact me on Yahoo, and I can be checking my little laptop, and I can pose your questions and share your comments with the audience.
Okay.
All righty then.
Thank you, Max. Thank you.
Good night.
Okay, love you guys. Hi, Jimmy. Bye, Jimmy. I know you're out there smoking a cigarette.
I'm back in here now.
Oh, you are. Okay, sweetie. Take care. And
you too.
Eric, thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Max, did you want us to leave you on hold so you can hear the radio play?
Actually, I have my laptop, and I can listen.
All right.
Okay.
I can listen live, and that way I can call back in if I have something to say.
Okay.
Well, we have a little music here for a moment, and then we'll come back with kind of a little bit of roundtable and some of the news of the week and that. This song title just sounded so appropriate for Max. It's called Kinky Freaky.
Ooh.
All right, that would be me.
And it's by RuPaul. So this is After Hours, and we'll be back in a moment.
All right.
Tell me, are you man enough to take it? You ain't gotta be scared, I know he won't be. you'll be missing in action.
Do you know who I am, girl? I'm RuPaul. Don't be mad, cause I got it all, including your man Paul. We was bounced while you waited at the mall. He told me I was his sexy chocolate ghetto Barbie doll.
Hold up, wait a minute. What are you saying? Help me understand. Last time I checked, I thought you was a man.
I'm more than a man. Just ask your man. He knew what he was doing when he unzipped his pants. You thought you were his one and only. He boned me and boned me. Ass kissing, penetrating the middle all on me. Shit, he wanted me. Funneling me. Climbing up my sugar walls. He left his drawers on my canopy.
I want you want me.
RuPaul with Kinky Freaky.
Ooh.
Kind of fitting there for Max.
Just a touch.
Especially since they were discussing those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have time for it now.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What?
In the tradition of public broadcasting.
Oh, yes.
It's time now for Masturbatory Theater. It's not Masterpiece Theater, it's Masturbatory
Theater. Masturbatory Theater. Theater.
For those of you, we'll give a little background for those of you.
Oh, yes, please do.
You've
read this, I haven't.
Yeah, now former Congressman Mark Foley of Florida.
The gay community's been on his ass for years because he wouldn't come out of the closet. And everybody knew, and...
I forget what was the term. He was openly closeted.
Yes.
I think it's the term that Travis gave me last month, I mentioned last month. But here's the whole story behind it. Last November, these letters were known that he had sent some emails back and forth to one of his congressional pages that was... that he had there, a 16-year-old congressional page from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And the simple, it was simple, basic ones. He was easily able to explain why, you know, he's asking for a picture of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from the fact, you know, most people remember faces better than names. So, you know, if he calls back later and wants, you know, a reference or something, they can go, oh, this guy.
Yeah.
I remember him now. So there was, this was all going through last November. The boy received the emails in the summer of 2005.
Okay.
When I worked in college. When the boy returned home, the congressman emailed him. Teenagers thought the messages were inappropriate, and one that fully asked the teen to send a picture of himself. So the family contacted their congressman, Representative Rodney Alexander in Louisiana, who basically got the page position for this kid.
Mm-hmm.
So Rodney Alexander took and passed it on to the proper people, to Dennis Hassert, the Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the other congressman's. Oh, here it is. Representative John Shimkus of Illinois, who is the congressman who is in charge of the Congressional Page Program.
Mm-hmm.
So they learned, this guy Shimkus learned about the email exchange in late 2005 and took steps to investigate. He said Foley told him it was an innocent exchange, and Foley was warned not to have any more contact with a teenager and to respect other pages. That was the end of it.
Okay.
Now, this has gone up. ABC got a hold about this, and one of the newspapers over in Florida did, and started talking about his emails, which are all, they seem, you know, kind of innocent. They were, you know, they weren't sexual, but they were over-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, one thing was asking for a picture of the kid.
Yeah.
It isn't asking, you know, I want a shirtless picture of you or that. You know, your school photo would probably have worked, what he was looking for. But now all this has come up to a head.
Yes, so to speak.
I'm surprised there's not more talk about it because it's too late to get Foley's name off the ballot now.
Hmm.
So basically, the Democrat who's running against him is running against a dead man.
Yes.
Politically dead man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm surprised the Republicans aren't more up in arms about this, but they're keeping it quite hushed because now that the instant message has come out.
Oops.
And as I joked at the opening of the show, you know, I know that Yahoo, you can do a message archive because I save my messages. Protect the innocent and the not so innocent.
Mm-hmm.
MSN Messenger does it. And apparently AOL does it as well. I didn't know about that feature in there. I don't use AOL anymore. But these people did. And so ABC News has the transcript of one of these such meetings. If I remember from the, if the file name is correct with it, this is from February 2nd, 2003. Wait, it said 2003. Okay, then I guess this thing wasn't correct. Because it said 020203.
Hmm.
I think is what I saw on.
Or was it 020205?
I know it said 03.
Hmm.
So I don't know what time. All we know is what time of night it was. This doesn't have the date on it.
No, it doesn't.
So, this little conversation is from Whenever, featuring Mark Foley, played by
me.
And the anonymous 16-year-old. It's my dream job.
Oh, brother.
I will be playing XXXXXXX.
Yes.
They blanked out his screen name there. For those who want to get a hold of Mark Foley, if his email still accounts there, it's MAF54.
Which probably stood for his age.
Or the, well, no, he's older than that. For that to be his year of his birth.
Oh, really?
54 would make him... Make him 52 now.
That's probably 50.
Could be the year of the...
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know. We'll find out. But, hey, if we get in touch with the former Congress member.
Mm.
So we thought we'd like to bring this little teleplay to you so you can hear what it takes to get a congressman out of office.
Okay.
We start with hey.
Hey.
Auto response. Scrounging for food. Be right back.
Okay. Keep scrounging.
Boo.
Boo, dude.
LOL. Where'd you go this afternoon?
I am in Pensacola. I had to catch a plane.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Indeed.
What are you doing in Pensacola?
Now in my hotel room.
Well, like, why did you go there?
For the campaign.
Have you officially announced yet?
Not yet.
Cool, cool.
How my favorite young stud doing?
Tired and sore. I didn't do no waltz and could make you so sore.
From what?
What do you mean, from what? From waltzing? I'm sore from waltzing.
That's good. You need a massage.
Signed off. A minute later, signed back on. Oh, I'm sorry. He signed, the congressman signed off and signed back on. Got kicked off?
Must have.
Ugh. Tomorrow I have the first day of lacrosse practice.
Love to watch that. Those great legs running.
Ha ha, they aren't great. That's why we have conditioning. 2 days running, 3 days lifting. Every week until the end of March.
Well, don't ruin my mental picture.
Oh, LOL. Sorry.
Nice. You'll be way hot then.
Ha ha ha. Hopefully.
Better be. Well, I better let you go do your thing.
Oh, okay. Have fun campaigning, or however you spell it. LOL. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Did any girl give you a hand job this weekend?
LOL, no. I'm single right now. My last girlfriend and I broke up a few weeks ago.
Are you... good, so you're getting horny.
LOL, a bit.
Did you spank it this weekend yourself?
No. Been too tired and too busy.
Wow. I'm never too busy.
Ha ha. Ha
ha. Or tired. Helps me sleep.
That's true. I haven't been having a trouble with sleep, though. I just walk in the door and collapse. Well, at least this weekend.
I'm sure.
I don't do it often normally, though.
Why not? At your age, seems like it would be daily.
Not me. I'm not a horn dog. Maybe two or three times a week.
That's a good number. In the shower?
Actually, I usually don't do it in the shower. Just because I shower in the morning and quickly.
In the bed?
I get up at 5:30. I'm out of the house by 6:10. Yeah.
On your back?
No, face down.
Love details.
LOL. I see that. LOL.
Really? Did you really do it face down?
Yeah.
Kneeling?
Well, I don't use my hand. I use the bed itself.
Where do you unload it?
Towel.
Really? Completely naked?
Well, yeah.
Very nice.
LOL.
Cute butt bouncing in the air.
Well, I've never watched myself, but yeah, I guess.
I'm sure not. Great visual. I may try that.
It works.
Sounds interesting. I always use lotion in the hand, but who knows?
I don't use lotion. It takes too much time to clean up. With a towel, you can just wipe off and go.
LOL. Where do you throw the towel?
But you can't work it too hard or it's not good. In the laundry.
Just kind of slow rubbing.
Yeah. Or you'll rub yourself raw.
Well, I have a totally stiff wood now.
Because the towel isn't very soft.
Yeah, I bet. That would hurt.
But you can find something softer than a towel, I guess.
But it must feel great spurting on the towel.
Yeah.
Wow. Is your little guy limp or growing?
Growing.
So you got a stiff one now.
Not that fast. Hey, so do you have a fetish?
Hey, what?
Fetish?
Like, I like steam room. What's yours?
It's kind of weird, LOL.
I am as hard as a rock, so tell me what your...
Tell me when your
reaches rock.
I have a cast fetish.
Well, tell me. Cast?
Yeah, like plaster cast.
Okay, so what happens? How does that turn you on?
I don't know. It just does. I've never had one, but people that have them turn me on. And if I had one, it would probably turn me on. Beats me. It's kind of weird, but along with that, I kind of like the whole Catholic school, the Catholic girl look. That's our school's uniform.
That's wild.
Yeah, but now I'm hard.
Me too. Cast got you going? What you wearing?
Normal clothes. T-shirt and shorts.
So a big bulge.
Yeah.
Love to slip them off you.
Ha ha.
And, grab the one-eyed snake. Grab.
Not tonight. Don't get too excited.
Well, you're hard.
That is true.
And a little horny.
And also true.
Get a ruler and measure it for me.
I've already told you that.
Tell me again.
7.5.
Beautiful.
LOL.
That's a great size.
Thank you.
Still stiff?
Yeah.
Take it out.
Be right back. My mom is yelling.
Okay.
4 minutes later, back.
Cool. Hope she didn't see anything.
No. She's computer dumb, though. It makes me so mad.
Good. Why?
Because she can't do anything.
Oh, well.
She couldn't figure out how to download a file from an email and open it. And she only does it like a million times a day. Oh, well, whatever. Well, I better go finish my homework. I just found out from a friend I have to finish reading and notating a book for AP English. And the conversation ended at 8:17.
And that's that.
Master Patoy Theater.
Yeah, well,
your
that doesn't sound too innocent to me.
No, but...
Hell, I got a half a Woody just reading it.
But the thing that gets me is this, you know... I've been accused of being conservative sometimes on here. You know, the kid was an active participant in this.
Of course he was.
You know.
And it's like they've had you can read through this and know that they've had these conversations before.
Yeah.
This is not new territory between the two of them.
This is not new. It's something that's going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 7.5 people. He's still a growing boy. The part of this that gets to me is, you know, all this suddenly coming out and, you know, like I said, the kid is an active participant in this.
Absolutely.
I don't consider him a victim, except the fact that our antiquated Puritan laws say that he is.
Mm-hmm. Because he was 16.
He was 16 at the time, mm-hmm. and, you know. And now the fact, you know, when it was just the emails, Republicans were kind of, you know, cautiously saying, you know, it's okay, you know, we appreciate that. What, in light of all this, you know, that he decided it was best for himself and for the party and all that to step aside.
Mm-hmm. Now, it only took them a year after reading this stuff.
Well, they didn't read, these are brand new that came out. It was the actual emails.
Oh.
That was before, that was fairly harmless. It could be argued one way or another.
Still, it's been a year.
Yeah. Now that these have come out, you have, you know, Representative Hastert, the Speaker of the House, is going, we're going to look into this more in the Congress, and we're going to pursue criminal charges, possibly.
Ooh.
They're looking for a criminal investigation. They're looking at... one thing I read before I left the House was that they're going to set up a special 800 number for congressional pages and their families to call in and anonymously report inappropriate behavior.
Wow. This is not the first time there's been a scandal with pages.
Yeah. Go ahead and say the joke.
No. I remember them all my life.
Yeah.
And usually female.
Yeah, and... Because that was one thing I saw earlier that they were talking about the last time they had a page, that they had a page issue like this. But see, like I said, it's an interesting thing. It's kind of come up on the radar screen, and then, you know, like Fred was talking about, it's kind of not a news issue. It's kind of being buried a little, it seems. But again, right now I'm looking at the Drudge Report, which is very...
Well, of course, the Republicans want to clamp down on this. They Mark Foley has been a thorn in their side, I'm sure, for years. But he's held a position and had a certain amount of power and could hold sway in Florida, so...
Yeah. Well, I mean, not like Jeb can't fix any election that goes down there.
Duh.
But no, see, like now, House Republicans... let's see, who wrote this one? It doesn't say that. Calling the contacts an obscene breach of trust is now what they're referring to this here. Yeah, especially now, the inappropriate communications between Foley and the page is unacceptable and abhorrent. So, they're going to thing here, but, you know...
Think they're going to hang his ass?
I don't, you know, he's out of office. So, these are going to be...
So it may become a civil issue?
Yeah. I mean, depending on how well they want to do this, you know. Yeah. See, CNN just has the little bit of the instant messages
mm-hmm.
on there. They don't have the full thing you see on ABC News. I don't know, because there is that question of timing, of how exactly... all this came out. I think some more worries are on this one here. Foley discussed another email saying that he emailed the kid. He's a nice guy, acts much older than his age, and he's in great shape. Can you get in the other room, Jimmy? Citizens for... let me... oops, wrong button there. This doesn't have everything like I have on my computer at home. I'm trying to remember here. The Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington has some stuff on their website.
Yeah.
Of the different things there. Those are the ones I was looking at before.
Mm-hmm.
They're ones that are really calling for an investigation in it. But I mean, it's an interesting story that just kind of exploded, and it's kind of, like I said, it just seems kind of strange that I really don't hear much. But they're calling for an outside counsel. This group, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington.
Whatever.
on this here.
A very small group.
I don't think so. I think they're a liberal. Well, yeah, they got to be liberal because of the radio and TV clips. You know, they were on the Al Franken show repeatedly. on, you know, Air America, which is going bye-bye pretty soon.
Yeah, well.
But what they were saying on here, they had some of the letters, some of the emails back and forth between the two. But, no, I just wanted to bring it out because this is an interesting little story that's kind of...
Yeah, I think most people don't know just how explicit it was.
And but like I said, I look at it from, yeah, it was explicit, and, you know, the guy being of the age he is, in the Congressman Foley, you know, you got to understand whenever you're talking with someone who is of a younger age like that, especially under 18, how... You have to curb what you say.
Yes. Yes, you do.
I'm curious if it.
Of course, when I was 14, 15, and 16, I was actively seeking out sex with older guys because I didn't want to have sex with guys I went to school with. They talked. So I was actively seeking out other guys. And
man, did they work fast.
What?
I went to his website, on the House website.
Yeah.
Office of the 16th Congressional District of Florida, formerly the office of Representative Mark Foley.
Oh.
they have yanked his website down.
They didn't waste any time, did they?
No. I'm sorry, I jumped in like that, but I was
that's
like,
okay.
Damn, these
that's
people.
That's funny.
I was trying to see how old he, you know, just the age stuff there, but all they have on there is a press release. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. I'm sorry, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
You bet. Whew. You bet.
That was a little surprising how quickly that went. That went down faster than a representative in a hurricane. Because he did, I mean, he's being polite. He asked the kid about, you know, when he was contacted in the emails in November, you know, were you guys okay from the hurricane?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't say what part of Louisiana he was in.
Yeah.
Maybe Wikipedia's got him in there. And Mark Foley for Congress. Let's go to that website. Website not found.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, boy, that got ganked faster than a 16-year-old lacrosse player.
Okay.
Have we beat this monkey to death
yet? We have indeed. I think it's time for a little music.
Okay. All right, well, I'll play this one earlier. In tribute of where Jimmy was last weekend.
Aww.
So we decided we're going to play an old song that has to deal with what he was doing. Out in the country.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful. Doug Stevens and the Out Band.
So this is After Hours. We'll be back in just a moment.
I grew up out in the country, spreading my wings wild and free, learning about life from Mother Nature, doing what comes naturally. Me and Bobby Wayne, friends from birth, playing out in the woods. Bobby Wayne looked at me right in the eyes, smiles a crooked smile and says, wanna do what our mamas and daddies do. Somehow I knew just what he meant, 'cause we were out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free. Coming men, me and Bobby Wayne hunting in the woods. He looks at me and grins.
He walks right over, grabs me by the arm, touches my face and says, come over here, let's do our grown men do. I've been doing it ever since, 'cause we were out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free, learning about life from Mother Nature. Bobby Wayne played around in the woods. I moved to the city, I found me a man. Bobby Wayne, you taught me good, 'cause we were out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free, learning about life from Mother Nature.
Out in the country doing what comes naturally.
We had a Max called in. She went over and checked on the ABC News website.
Uh-huh.
And talked, and there was some discussion about this, and brought up an interesting thing, that if Representative Foley would have diddled
the page
in Washington, technically it would be legal. It would probably be against ethics law, ethics rules.
Oh, of course.
In the House.
Of course it would.
But under the laws of the District of Columbia,
it wouldn't be criminal.
Yeah, it wouldn't be criminal, because the age of consent in the District of Columbia is 16.
Now, are we... I guess it... does it have anything to do with... the page living in Louisiana?
Well, it's over the internet is where the problem runs into.
Oh. No. What I meant was, even if they did have sex in Washington, since the page actually lives in Louisiana, would that make any difference?
No, I don't think so, because it's... If the kid was in Louisiana... And the representative and Foley was talking to him and said, hey, why don't you come up to D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
Then yes.
Yes, because that would be...
Interstate...
Right.
Trafficking of a child. Right. But since the fact that the kid was living in... was going to school in Washington. He was going to school and working. Because congressional pages also have to go to a special school.
I see.
And it's like a year internship, from what I understand from this. So technically he was already in Washington, D.C. for some other reason. So if it was done in Washington, D.C., if he would have actually diddled him, it would be legal. If the congressman lived in Virginia but drove into Washington, it'd be illegal, because the age of consent in Virginia is 18.
Damn.
Age of consent in Louisiana, where the teen was from, is 17.
As it is in Texas.
As what they list here in Texas. It's a very weird thing when you look at it from state to state, and you cross a state line, and you can go. You can go from 18 down to 14.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa has an age of consent of 14, but it looks like there's a special circumstance on that one. Missouri has an age of 14.
Special circumstance?
Let's see. Let me look at
I hate to think. What kind of special circumstance? You married the person? What?
No, it's... I'm trying to read through here. If a person... I think it depends on the other age. Like in Texas, mm-hmm. you know, if a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old have sex.
Oh, okay.
I think it's in that, okay. that 2 year.
Okay.
It's one of those things.
14 if it's like with a 15 or 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's all those parts. And it says on here about meeting over the internet for sex. They put you to a Kansas case, and I'm trying to figure out where that has to do, because everything looks on there is, you know, 14 to 16. But it's one thing. I think it's because it's the internet, and so you're dealing with federal
mm-hmm.
on that part. So when you're dealing with the federal law, you know, the federal standard for, like, you know, performing in Girls Gone Wild videos
mm-hmm.
is 18. Is that the general standard?
Gotcha.
It's 18 is what you see a lot on. Well, there's a lot of 17s and a lot of 16s on here.
Mm-hmm.
That's just where it depends on there. And plus, you know, they'll find some way to bust you. You know, we've got people who've been on the show who can tell you they'll work it some way if they really want to nail you.
That's right. Yeah, we've discussed that. We've had people come on and talk about how they got thrown in jail when it actually was not. They did not perform an illegal act.
Yeah. One thing, you know, I've said one site that you can go to that will help you with that is where I'm pulling all this information off from is ageofconsent.com,
mm-hmm.
Which gives you a chart for the ages of consent. It's not considered the most accurate. It's considered the most accurate, but don't go quoting them as in the court of law. They do a lot of research to find it.
Yeah.
But laws change all the time.
Yeah.
But this gives you the age of consent for sexual activity for all around the world and across the country mm-hmm. for the three types of sex you can have.
And those three types are?
Straight, gay male, and lesbian.
Okay.
Because there are, in some instances, where... like up until a couple of years ago, straight and lesbian sex were considered 16 in the United Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and gay male sex was 21.
Right.
And that comes from the old Queen Victoria rules of, you know, women would not be having sex with other women.
Yes, it couldn't be considered sex.
So that...
Because Queen Victoria couldn't imagine it.
And because of that, so they said, you know, they made it 21 because, you know, it's the same as normal sex. But,
well,
the more you know.
Well, it's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, here's another story I was going to talk with when Max was on. Because she's talking about, you know, how the government's kind of cracking down on all this stuff. This happened up in Frisco, Texas,
mm-hmm.
up in Dallas. A veteran art teacher says school administrators have retaliated against her.
Yes, I read this.
Because they reportedly saw a nude sculpture during a field trip to the Dallas Museum of Art.
Now, isn't that the most ridiculous thing you have ever heard?
And supposedly she went through, I mean, she asked the museum, is there any problems with taking a bunch of fifth graders? Now, I remember in my fifth grade classes when we were showing the sex education movies.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've got this thing of where they've reprimanded this teacher, and all of a sudden they found other problems with her.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's been a teacher for 28 years. She checked with museum staffers to ensure they would be appropriate for her fifth grade class. The teacher does not know which piece of art offended the parent, and the district wouldn't tell her what they saw.
Oh, God, is this the Inquisition or what?
Yeah. So students
no,
were exposed
it's
to
Dallas n- is yeah, what it is.
Was exposed to nude statues and other nude art representations during the trip.
So, it's in an art museum.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, she wants to get out of the school because these people are a little hostile to her, and they won't even let her leave.
You're kidding?
No. She requested a transfer because she's afraid of being fired for anything she does. and the principal wants her back next year. But they've gone before the school board and complained about this.
Oh God. What idiots.
You know, it seems so weird that you've got, and Dallas is considered, you know, even though it's in Texas still.
No, Dallas is, they're just uptight in Dallas. Very uptight.
Oh.
It's still in the clutches of the Bible Belt.
Well, it's a little above the Bible Belt, because I went to school in a town that's referred to as Jerusalem of the West. Not as much violence, though, but, you know, I think it could use a little bit of...
come on, this is an art museum. It's not purient, it's nudity.
And, I mean, plus that, what surprised me is they're not saying what the kid saw. So it sounds a little like, you know, some parent just heard they went to the museum and said, I bet you they have something there.
Yeah.
I bet you they have a photograph of Janet Jackson somewhere in that place. Something like that.
Oh, I'm just thinking how Europe is reacting to that story, you know, and when... Especially in Italy, in Florence, where it's that statue... Copies of the Statue of David are everywhere.
Yeah.
From the size you can hold in your hand to life size.
To where you can hold only a portion of the Statue of David in your hand. But it was a cold day when that was carved. Website operator charged with obscenity.
For what?
A woman who authorities said ran a website that published graphic fictional tales about torture and sexual abuse of children has been indicted on federal obscenity charges. To use the internet to distribute and obscene stories like this not only violates federal law, but also emboldens sex offenders who would target children.
Haven't they ever read Hansel and Gretel?
Yeah, but I think they're talking about a different way of eating them. Excerpts of her stories were available for all visitors to see on the web, while others paid to read the whole story. She was indicted by a federal grand jury on Tuesday on 6 counts involving 6 stories about the kidnapping, torture, sexual molestation, and murder of children under the age of 9.
Oh, well.
The charges carry 5 years.
That's a bit different.
Yeah, and not with the 9 part there. With the age of what they are, but... It's fictionalized.
Yes, still.
I don't know. I mean, because you can find stories like this all over.
Sure.
You know. You can, I mean, and yes, that some people, the fact that they would be reading this stuff is going to be aroused and engrossed upon it, and so it would be pornographic.
And what kind of site was it for? Was it...
It doesn't say, but the fact that it's... You know, it sounds like she was doing it as a pay site, that she had full stories on there. It sounds like it was just a story fantasy site.
Okay.
It's
hard to know when you don't know if she had 1,000 stories of all kinds of different things, and then 6 of them were about...
Yeah, or if she had 1,000 of them were for 6.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you can go in to countless websites... And find stories that involve stuff that is considered illegal.
Sure.
On those. I know there's one website that I go through and read stories on. They have a section on bestiality.
Yes, I've seen a couple of sites like that.
Yeah. You know, there's one that's got a story of, you know, several members in a family that involves incest.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if it partake, if it is.
And there's a question that I've always wanted answered by mm-hmm. somebody. The incest thing. And it's usually the laws are really pertaining to maybe fathers and daughters or brothers and daughters.
It's based off of genetics.
Because of genetics, yes. So if we're talking same sex...
See, I don't know if there's actually a particular...
Like having sex with your brother.
Hold on. I know one way that would tell me if there is a thing about that, because there was a story on the Daily Rotten about an incestuous relationship. Oh, they finally changed up this thing.
Yeah, I wonder how many... You know, when you have twins, I wonder... You always wonder, I wonder if they have sex together.
Yeah, it's a twisted little thing. But see if it's... See here...
Same sex, yeah. I mean. Same sex twins.
I'm trying to see here, because there was a story on here about a father and daughter...
Hmm.
Who... Not only was it an incestuous relationship, but then they went and got married somehow.
Ooh. How in the hell did they do that?
I don't know. I didn't have a chance to read the whole story. Just, you know, it didn't really intrigue me enough at the beginning.
Or was it a stepfather? Which is still weird.
They exchanged rings at Westminster Abbey. So I don't know how... Oh, it was... It wasn't a complete marriage thing, you know. They.
What was it really?
I hate to use the term because of the way we use that term on the show here. It was basically a commitment ceremony.
Oh.
They exchanged rings. They agreed. They pronounced themselves husband and wife. Yeah, they announced themselves as a couple that, you know, the government. That,
but no, they couldn't legally get married.
No. Even though.
Well, that's still weird.
Yeah, I have to read through the whole story on here. It's over. It's at the Village Voice website.
Okay.
On that, they start. Yeah. I see now the Daily Rotten read. They still haven't put up my story I had on there.
I mean, there's a valid reason for opposite sex incest laws, and like you said, because of genetics.
Yeah. Look at how the. I mean, it's getting better in the royalty. Over in Europe and that.
Yeah, because of bringing in fresh blood.
Yeah.
But it was getting so you expected the next heir to the throne to be born with a hand growing out of the top of his head or something. You know?
Or a complete idiot who would go screwing around on his beautiful wife there with, you know, the ugly trollop down the road.
Imagine that.
The hell I say.
Mm.
But no, they haven't put on there my story. I submitted a news article to them because I thought it was very interesting.
I shudder to think.
Well, haven't you heard that, you know, the show Saved by the Bell?
Yes.
One of the men on there has made a porno video.
Who?
Screech.
Which one was he?
The geek.
Oh.
Dustin Diamond. Allegedly,
yes,
he didn't mean to do this to be
what?
Produced. It's one of those celebrity tapes that got stolen kind of things. It is a 42-minute video of him and two women.
Having sex. But he set up a cam thing?
Yeah, just something for giggles. It was supposedly him and a bunch of friends had this contest of who could make, you know, the wildest, hottest, craziest, weirdest pornos.
Oh.
So he made this film, and it one of the reasons why it's gotten some of the attention on this is Screech is needing money. Dustin Diamond, he's trying to raise money to save his house from being foreclosed on.
Oh.
So he's been selling T-shirts. And people have commented about him making porno.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a little rumor going around that Screech had more than you can fit into a pocket protector.
I see. He's well endowed.
Very.
Oh.
Double digit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Let's say, you know, let's see, how can I put this politely?
Well, don't. We're, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Who the hell cares?
It's 10 inches.
Okay.
And so this movie has, someone got it and supposedly been shopping around trying to get someone to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the video is, the working title.
Here we go.
Saved by the Smell.
Oh, God.
There's a reason for that.
Why?
The final scene in this movie.
Yes.
Involves the Dirty Sanchez.
The Dirty Sanchez?
Yes.
I don't know what that is. I probably know it by another name.
The Dirty Sanchez is, in straight terms, when the male
yes.
finishes anal intercourse
yes.
and withdrawals, and there's some stool on his tool.
Oh.
And it would flip the girl over and give her a mustache.
Oh, that's rude.
Yeah. And we're not talking about a milk mustache.
Yeah, no.
And it's called a dirty or filthy Sanchez. And that is supposed to be
that's
end.
That's kind of tacky.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the end of his film, so that's why the name of it is Saved by the Smell. So he's like saying, I didn't make this movie. I didn't make this movie to be broadcast around, but supposedly soon there for...
But not only did it save his house, but he bought...
well, he hasn't got any money on that yet.
One twice as big.
They've been shopping it around right now, so it's, you know, like, they're talking about you can... When the one place that looks like it's in the lead for bidding for this, it's going to be like $30 download.
Yeah.
For the video. But no, I put it up on there as a... and with the Daily Rotten, you can choose your title. I said, you know, Screech gives a Dirty Sanchez to somebody besides Slater.
Ooh.
Which is Mario Lopez's character.
Yes.
See, now they finally got on here the stuff about Mark Lopez.
Mark or Mario?
No. Mark Foley, I'm sorry.
Oh, Mark Foley.
Yeah, they finally put on there.
Well, the hell with Mark Foley. Give me some dirt on Mario Lopez.
Have you seen the video clip yet?
No, of what?
Mario Lopez is starring in Nip Tuck this season.
Oh, really?
And he is...
What's he playing?
He is playing a plastic surgeon.
Yes.
And he meets one of the other doctors in the shower room. At the gym.
Oh, really? And what? What? Tell me!
Full rear nudity.
Okay, I'll take it.
And the front, you do see the six-pack. There's a line in there where he looks over the other doctor and says, are you looking at my dick? He says, no, I'm looking at your abs. And there's a video clip out there. I'll have to send you the link to it there where there is... I mean, it's a five-minute scene, and you get the dimples in his cheeks or in his other cheeks, too.
Really?
Yes. That's going to be on the FX network coming up.
Yeah, I like Nip Tuck.
I've never...
It's a weird show.
I never watched that.
The characters are just bizarre.
Well, the one character is supposed to be going bi this week.
Which one?
I mean, not bi-bi, as in bisexual.
Yeah, I know.
It's the one doctor who's in the shower room.
Oh, you're kidding.
They're talking about he may explore some bisexuality.
My.
Yeah, FX is getting a little bold. They've got that. There's another story of...
Do you know which doctor it is?
I don't know the names. I don't watch the show.
Oh, okay.
You know, they had the allegedly gay character on Rescue Me this past season.
Which one was that?
Proby.
Yeah?
He was supposedly...
Bisexual
leaning towards gay, and then the storyline just died real quickly.
Oh.
And there was another one on FX coming up that was a...
because the captain's son is... the fire chief's son is gay. And they did not... He didn't go for it. I mean, he didn't react well to it.
Yeah, I was trying to see... There's another one on FX that's coming up. Let me go to Gay News. About a transsexual character.
On where?
On FX, on a new show. Here we go. FX drama...
I've already had that on Nip Tuck.
Oh, no, this is a new series about a transsexual sports writer mm-hmm. with a wife and two teenage sons. To Ryan Murphy, size may not matter, but weight does. Latest project for the swashbuckling creator of Nip Tuck is 4 Ounces, a new FX drama about a transsexual sports writer with a wife and two teenage sons. 4 Ounces is the average weight of a flaccid penis.
Oh.
According to Murphy. It fascinates him that something that weighs so little can cause so much damage and joy at the same time. Murphy's writing the pilot episode and hopes to begin production early next year. No cast yet, but the phone is ringing off the hook from A-list stars who remain nameless. Okay, we'll name them. Robert Downey Jr. and Alec Baldwin, among others.
Oh. Alec Baldwin.
It may be one of the great parts, tongue-in-cheek, if done correctly. Double tongue-in-cheek. It'll be like Dustin Hoffman in Tootsie, a man who becomes a better man by being a woman. A-lister Brad Pitt is one of the executive producers on that. So, the 40-ish protagonist in 4 Ounce lives in Pasadena, California, and is an everyday guy who's been fighting his secret all of his life. The series follows the trajectory of his sexuality. Murphy calls 4 Ounce his version of My Three Sons, with the father being a tranny.
Does the father start out being a tranny, or... do they go through the transition, or...
If it goes long enough. Murphy has mapped out several seasons' plot lines. Season 1, the character grapples with his secret.
Yes.
Season 2, he lives and dresses as a woman.
Okay.
Season 3, he undergoes the surgery.
Ah.
And season 4, he's a woman looking for love in the world.
Ah.
So that is going to be there.
Give some actor 4 years of work.
Yeah, if FX will go for it.
Yeah.
Murphy, who's gay, has been fascinated with transsexuality since he took a course in sexual deviance his senior year at Indiana University. He copped an A-plus on his thesis.
Wow.
He says, I know my trannies.
Evidently.
So that, I remember seeing that one come up on the news. I saved that over for... for one of our discussions that came up on here.
Okay. Why don't we go to a piece of music and...
Yeah, especially since I don't have anything planned.
Oh. Sorry, I thought you did. Oh, he's just going to pick one from the bag without looking. He's just going to pick a CD out. And which one is it? One he's not going to play.
I thought we'd play some music from maybe this decade or two. It's Peter Allen.
Oh. Okay.
Stick it in, pull it out. Okay.
Who is it?
Bill Budd.
Oh, okay. You like that one.
Yeah. That's easily cued because when we play is song number one.
Okay.
This is Bill Budd. And
actually, it looks like song number 9, but...
Well, that's how I see it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So, Bill Budd, and so here, this is After Hours.
It's all you see.
when I lost count of the days. Since the last time we were together, can't remember the last time we were together.
So here, we've got a dedication on this next song here. This is from Mark in Florida, out to his Raging Cajun lacrosse playing friend. Yes, the Frustrated Housewives with I Know What Boys Like. That was from Mark in Florida to the Raging Cajun Boys of La Crosse in Louisiana. Hey! I know, I'm going to hell, but what a ride it'll be. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Coming up here shortly, I believe it's Mr. Schmidtville to Happy Domination Hour. Back to some of the interesting little stories here. Boy, we should have talked about this one earlier when we were talking. Oh, that's good, because I was about ready to say the B word, and Jimmy would love to be here for that.
The B word?
The B word. This would have gone good when we were talking earlier about the ageofconsent.com website.
Yes.
Teenage buggery is okay in Hong Kong now.
Is it now?
Yes. The Court of Appeal for Hong Kong Special Administrative Region overturned a criminal statute that outlawed anal sex when considered with men under the age of 21.
Oh.
See, it's illegal. It was legal for 16-year-olds to engage in that if they were opposite sex.
Oh.
But gay sex was penalized at 21.
Yes.
Now their court is saying it has to be down to 16.
Okay.
But, now here's the downside. Group sex does not qualify as private, therefore it's still illegal.
No.
No orgy.
Damn.
I guess maybe unless you put like a curtain between the two people there. And they said, you know, and the sodomy laws in Hong Kong are part of the relic of the old British colonial rule.
They certainly are.
Which still calls it buggery.
Yeah.
Arr.
Buggery on high seas. Yes, I've got that somewhere.
They have a ointment for that one now.
Ooh.
Try to see what other cutesy little things I've got on here. George Michael did a little naughty thing against George Bush now.
Now what?
Well, he made this video a year or so ago. It's a cartoon video that showed Tony Blair as a poodle, basically sitting on George Bush's lap, showing it that, you know, the British government is basically a lapdog. Well, on his comeback tour, they say an ill-advised political satire featuring cartoon bestiality.
What?
Sporting his trademark shades, designer stumbled in two-piece. The singer launched into a passionate rendition of his 2002 political track, Shoot the Dog.
Mm-hmm.
As he belted the anti-war number, which portrayed Tony Blair as George Bush's poodle, a cartoon backdrop showing Bush, Blair, and the Prime Minister's wife in bed emerged. While the song itself has gained renaissance over the years, George used it to unveil his Barcelona show's most shocking visual image. An enormous balloon, a grotesque version of the American president, rose out of the center of the stage, hovering menacingly above the singer. When the singer leaned down to unzip the balloon's trousers, out popped a British bulldog draped with the UK flag.
Oh, my God.
The dog was stuck to the balloon's inflated crotch, wagging its tail. Whether or not a giant model of the president engaging in a lewd act with a British bulldog added anything to the song's onstage impact in Barcelona is up to debate. Unfortunately, I don't think it had any pictures in here, but
I swear I had nothing to do with that cartoon.
Considering how much trouble he got into, no, just a picture of George Michael. No picture of that, you know. That's that little story on there. I'm glad that Gay News has come back. There for a while it was missing. Oh. Maybe they weren't adding up onto it there. Somewhere over in England, they had a carnival parade, and the carnival queen had a royal scepter. It was a 15-year-old boy who was named Carnival Queen.
Oh.
And we're not talking about, you know, like a gay pride event. Waiting for the whole story to pop up.
Some kid in drag.
Some kid. David, 15, wore a flowing lilac dress, tiara, and white high heels as he was driven along the parade in quiet Axbridge, Somerset, in an open-top sports car. Gay schoolboy David Birch joined the town's carnival with pride as its alternative queen. He said some people said they were going to throw eggs at me, but thankfully that never happened.
Oh, good.
He stunned the carnival committee by auditioning to be their Blackberry Queen in drag. Not that bad of a...
Not bad.
on there. David, who carries a handbag and wears makeup, said, I am pleased I managed to carry it off and hopefully I didn't offend anyone.
Whatever, girlfriend.
But one grandmother branded the decision to select him as ridiculous. She said, how can you have a boy as carnival queen? It has to be a girl. It's stupid.
Yeah, well, a lot of those British kings were really queens.
Oh, yes. So,
get over it.
I'm not going to do that one. That one's too sad of a story.
Do we have an MBB letter?
Yes, we do. We do. Who's commenting on the fact that you commented? We did get an MBB letter.
Ah.
Dear Mr. Carper.
Me?
Obviously, he hasn't seen you lately.
Oh.
Hi, Jimmy. Hi, guys.
This is Jaime, isn't it?
Yes. I'm writing to say hello and let you guys know that I'm still listening to After Hours every Saturday.
Ah, good.
As I have told Jimmy before, After Hours and Queer Voices are my favorite KPFT radio programs.
Thank you.
You guys rock. And I heard the disappointment in Jimmy's voice the week before he last when he mentioned there weren't any MBB letters.
Yeah.
So I just had to write, and I knew Jimmy wasn't going to be there for the show last week. So I waited till this week to write, and I hope you're all doing fine.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've been okay, and we'll write again soon with some good news.
Good.
And he included here an article in talking about an HBO documentary that's called Mr. Conservative.
Yeah.
It's the story of Barry Goldwater.
Oh, really?
In Arizona. And it's done by his granddaughter, who basically wanted to know about her grandfather. So
sure.
She does a lot of interviews with family members and famous people who worked with Gary, with Barry Goldwater. And he underlines this one part on there. She got to know where he stood on gays in the military. Suppose he made the comment, gays have served honorably since Julius Caesar's time.
Absolutely. He was a conservative leader and looked upon as Mr. Conservative all the while he was in office. And in the later years, when his grandson came out to him as being gay, he rethought
how he
felt about it, and he changed his position on homosexuality like 180 degrees.
And I think they do talk with his grandson.
Yeah,
and there was another part on there where he became supporting abortion rights there when one of his his daughter had an abortion, and said, come home, we'll talk, and we'll go with it. And he also said, I watched a little bit of it. They were talking about, he had said during the time that there would be a time that his conservatism would be considered liberalism.
Yes.
And, especially when you look at the fact that one of the people who was a strong supporter of Barry Goldwater was Hillary Clinton.
See?
She said she was one of the Goldwater girls, dressed up in the cowgirl outfits, and went on events with them.
Ah, so I didn't know that.
It's an interesting thing, because, like I said, they talk with politicians, they talk with news people who were there with him at the time, and a lot with family members. And that, so...
That's pretty amazing.
That's on
I'm
HBO.
Have to look for that.
Yeah, it's on HBO right now.
Yeah.
Doing that. Looks like it's called Mr. Conservative. It's one of their documentaries. Americans for Truth is upset with Fox News.
Who isn't?
Well, they're upset with Fox News because they did something pro-gay.
What?
I
can't believe it on both sides. I mean, it's just Fox did something pro-gay.
The National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association held its national convention in Miami Beach.
Uh-huh.
And the 600 or so attendees owed their fun in the sun partially to Fox News.
How's that?
They donated $10,000 to the event to be a sponsor.
No kidding.
Peter LaBarbera, president of the Americans for Truth, acted swiftly in response to Fox's alarming gayness. He sent a strongly worded letter to Roger Allies, the president of Fox, demanding that Fox immediately deposit an additional $10,000 into the coffers of a pro-family organization. This Libera wrote would balance out Fox's alarming attitudes toward gays.
Fine. Let them give $10,000 to PFLAG.
Yeah, this is, but, you know,
they didn't say what kind of family values.
Especially if Fox decided to give the money to AFT. The National Lesbian Gay Journalists Association doesn't fancy itself as an activist group, but it did send a letter to members requesting that they not have homophobes as commentators on gay issues. Just as white supremacists shouldn't be regularly quoted on articles about immigration.
Yes.
So that means Republicans can't talk? Oh, come out, Shepard. Come out. We know. It's time for you and Anderson to walk hand in hand out of the closet. But then again, you know, I had one CNN reporter who was also CNN headline news anchor who was at that same event and came out. And all of a sudden, it's been reassigned.
Imagine that.
So,
Ozzy, we were talking about Barry Goldwater. Do you know anything about Barry Goldwater?
Barry Goldwater, the candidate 68
for president.
Yeah,
yeah, senator from Arizona.
Oh yeah,
Republican.
Yeah, what of him?
Yeah. I was just wondering, because I know you're younger.
I'm on the same page.
And I was wondering how much you knew about him, if anything.
I know some about him.
Okay.
I remember his campaign signs had to make, you know, only high school seniors could figure it out.
What do you mean?
He had campaign signs that said, had a capital A, lowercase u, capital H, number two, and an O, capital O.
Goldwater.
Goldwater in chemical.
AU is for gold. And
yeah.
H2O. Yeah.
So usually only high school seniors will be able to get that. Yeah, once you put your cap on there, you lose information like that. I remember seeing the old campaign signs, especially at the convention. People holding up signs saying, you know,
really?
AUH2O, and I'm geeky enough to know that sort of stuff there.
I remember that talking to people from Texas. I wasn't here. I guess I was. People were really shocked when he didn't win.
He was going up
in Texas.
Oh, in Texas. Well, he's from Arizona.
There's incredibly strong support from Texas for Barry Goldwater.
But he was in 68, so he was... No, he didn't go up against Johnson. He would have gone up against Nixon.
Yeah, that's right.
And Nixon would have been California.
Mm-hmm.
But where was Rockefeller? Rockefeller was his VP, right?
New York.
No, or was it from the New York Rockefellers or the West Virginia Rockefellers?
I don't know.
One of those.
I don't know.
This was long before I was a twinkle in my daddy's eye.
Oh, cute.
Or something squirming downstairs. Hey, anybody out there want to make $50,000?
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
No, he's not eligible for it. He fluffed before he walked in. if you've heard,
I was away last week, so.
Yeah, you were in the sticks with your stick, or
yeah. I was.
Did you sleep naked in the woods?
What you were saying, Chris?
You're out there in the tent, balls to the wind, you know.
He's invoked the Vegas clause.
Yeah. What happens in the woods stays in the woods.
Well, have you heard of the show Trading Spouses on Fox?
What?
Trading Spouses.
Oh, yes, I've heard of this.
Well, they are looking for dynamic same-sex families, specifically gay dads with children above the age of 6 years, for Fox's hit reality show Trading Spouses. If you're not familiar with the show, it's a family-oriented show that highlights various cultures and lifestyles of families across the America. It's been compared to a foreign exchange student program for parents.
Yeah, only, you know, it's so contrived because they, on purpose, get two families with
was
totally
that the show with
views.
With the God Warrior lady?
I rebuke you!
Oh, I love that yeah. woman. I rebuke you, Satan.
You know, she ended up making a rap CD.
No.
Oh, God.
It's on her website.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we've got to get that.
Oh, I have to break the artist rule for that scene.
I'm wet thinking about that one. This once in a lifetime experience is
no joke.
Fun, educational, and profitable. At the end of the 7-day shoot, each family will receive $50,000.
Wow.
They're looking for family to break the stereotypes. So for more information, go to fox.com. And click on the Trading Spouses icon.
Or fox.com/ really screwed up TV show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting. You know, that's the one thing, it's the weird dichotomy you get there. Fox Television and FX, pretty good to us.
Yeah. Fox News.
Fox News.
Sucks the big one.
And not in a good way.
And not in a good way.
Oh, what did Jackie say?
Damn you, Jeb Bush.
20 yeah. Gabe. Oh, that was just content. Had a big thing on Lone Star Activists here about 20 gay bars.
Yes.
10 of them across the United States, 10 from around the planet, and Texas has 2 of them.
Yes, one in Dallas and one in Houston. Yes.
Sue Ellen's is a lesbian bar up in Dallas, and the BRB
here in Houston
made the top 10 list.
Which surprised me, and I think it was because of two things, longevity and the theme, the cowboy theme.
Yeah. But, you know, there was a little bit of discussion going back and forth about all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know how people are when, you know, it's that...
oh, yeah.
That kind of activism.
There's also been something about the age of Mary's, because it is advertised as the oldest gay bar in Texas. And it's pretty well now... thought that Mary's started in 1969, same year as Stonewall.
But no one seems to know. We didn't. For some reason, there wasn't a... Back then, there wasn't a group of people who put together so we could remember our history.
Imagine that. But the staff at Mary's seems to think so, as well as several other people who have written into me. And now my next question is going to be, if Mary's is talking about being the oldest gay bar in Texas, what is the Contiki in Galveston? Because I... when I was with my first lover, we went to Galveston and I danced there, and I know it was before 1969. So
go ahead, just tell us how old you are.
We already know that.
Go ahead.
But you know,
I'll explain in more detail in the email.
We'll find out more on that and we'll discuss that.
Yes,
know.
But because it's almost time for us to
it's
get
time
the
for
hell
us
out
go.
Of here.
I gotta play those PSAs. You know,
yeah.
For some strange reason, I want to keep Ernesto off my back.
Oh. Ozzy, thank you for being here.
Hey, no problem.
On your back.
Wow. Alex, it's always good to feel you up. See you come in.
See you come.
One or the other generally ends up happening.
All right, this has been After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston. Next week is the beginning of the month. Jimmy won't be here again, so you'll get to put up with me.
Yes, and Hatch.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Since they showed up this week, hopefully they'll show up next week.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, poor
thing. I
don't
get it. All right.
Okay, yeah. Next
PSA
week is
time.
Hatch. Yes, and we'll see you next
week.
Week.
Folks.
KPFT is pleased to announce the names of our 15 candidates in the 2006 local station board election. Congratulations and good luck to James Allen, Teresa Allen, Wesley Bethune, Donald Cook, Bill Crozier, Emmett Abadido, Ben Freeland, Joseph Kay, Mike Martin, Rick Potsoff, Bob Sanborn, Wendy Schrell, Brian Swain, Thomas Williams, and Susan Young. Check them out online at kpft.org and stay tuned for updates about live candidate events and parties. A few weeks from now, voting members will receive a ballot in the mail. Once you have ranked your favorite, send it in. The only ballots that count are the ones that you send back to us. Your vote matters most. Thanks for voting. For Radio for Peace, 90.1 KPFT Pacifica, Houston.
The KPFT Program Evaluation Committee meets Wednesday, October 4th at 6 p.m. at KPFT Studios. The committee is tasked with a variety of roles related to assessments of...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.